This is
Tears of Scrutiny. Hey there, welcome back to Tears of Scrutiny. My name is Eva Eben.
And I'm Bari Sedana.
And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about something I think that a lot of you have opinions on, the TikTok ban. So March 13th, as we all know, it was big news on my college campus. And your high school as well, Bari. But the House of Representatives overwhelmingly passes a measure giving ByteDance, which is like the overhead company that owns TikTok. It says, you know, it's a divestiture bill. It's not an outright ban, which means they have to sell TikTok within 6 months or lose access to web hosting and app services in the US. So like, is it a ban? Yes, it's a ban, but it's like, they're giving them this period of time before they actually ban it.
Well, I think also what part of the thing is that it's also like a threat to ban. So they're hoping that ByteDance will sell and be smart. And
we'll see. We'll see how that works. Because they have no reason to do it if it's not a credible threat.
Well, yeah. Exactly. And I think this is a credible threat. The threat? I don't know.
I think I saw a lot of people saying that, yes, it might be the final time. Like, you know, TikTok's end is nearing. But still, I wonder, like, constitutionality-wise, there's a lot to be said about the free speech implications of a ban on social media, like an outright ban on a social media platform that I think 150 million Americans use today. Like, that is ridiculous. And the constitutionality implications are there, so we'll see how the courts, you know, decide on that.
Yeah.
And there's also a bunch of other hurdles. Like, the Senate, it faces an uphill climb, you know? We don't know if they're going to approve this ban, so... And then, you know, the constitutionality of it is resolved, then I think it's a credible threat. But I don't think, if I was ByteDance right now, I would be like, eh, so many efforts to ban this app in the US, none of them have worked.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing too, is that like this ban, although it hides, is, you know, rooted in a concern for privacy and for data privacy. I think really at the root of it is that
it's just an anti-Chinese sentiment, I think.
I think yes. And I think also part of it is speech. Like, what is on TikTok that they want to ban? I mean, one thing that I was thinking a lot about is like Murthy v. Missouri, which was the other, another freedom of speech case that we've covered. That's about this term and about the Biden administration's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and the 2020 election.
And essentially, like, did they compel speech from social media companies by asking them to tamp down on quote-unquote misinformation?
Yeah.
Which
is a violation of the First Amendment.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they didn't force them to do anything. They asked. But then when the federal government asks you to do something, the executive branch asks you to do something, do you do it?
And I think it was less so, like, a compelled speech question and more so a question of should the government even be able having any power in the first place. And I just think that when we know that there are things like that that have happened, I think that you have to look at the speech on these apps that the government doesn't necessarily agree with. For example, like, obviously Israel-Palestine, like, I think from what I've seen, I don't think the pro-Palestinian movement would have gained as much traction as it did and as much support as it has without TikTok. Like, I don't think people would know about, for example, the boycotts, like the Starbucks boycott that was happening, and then the McDonald's boycott because of that one. And there was one restaurant in Israel, and now that the McDonald's franchise, I think, is buying it back because they don't want the support to go towards the IDF. Like, things like
TikTok
that.
TikTok
is quite powerful, and we're seeing that, like, this is something that people have been claiming, that there's an anti-Israel bias on TikTok. And the U.S. has a long-standing history as an ally to Israel. So I understand. I think that there is potentially something more sinister
behind the ban.
And, you know, because TikTok has helped bolster movements against President Biden. Like, we've seen with people, preferring not to vote for him. I mean, like, I don't think
it's possible. I don't think it's probable. I don't know.
It's like something more.
I don't know, because we've been talking about banning TikTok for the longest time. Like, it has been on and off conversation since before I mean, obviously a lot of these things have, like, Israel-Palestine has been relevant for so long. Like
6 months, yeah.
Oh, no. I just think, like, before. Yeah, I'm just saying, even before. But, like, regardless, like, TikTok bans have been a point of contention, a point of discussion for this administration, before this administration. So I would hesitate. I mean, I'm not that suspicious of the government where I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to go ahead and they're going to, like, stifle speech that they disagree with, and they're gonna ban this whole platform that we all use because this is not North Korea. It's possible, but like, and I would really, really hesitate. I would really, like, I appreciate the scrutiny with which we evaluate these things, but I don't know if I would come to that conclusion of like, yeah, the government's trying to tamp down on the speech. And also, like, is it really a good thing that such important, crucial issues, the information that people are getting, like the place that they're getting this information is TikTok? There's been a lot of misinformation about Israel-Palestine on TikTok. There's been a lot of misinformation about anything and everything on TikTok. You know what I mean? Like it.
But I still think that responsibility is on people. Right?
Yeah, I think so too.
I think the government shouldn't take it into their hands to ban the platform because, again, like,
I fully agree.
I think every time that there is a threat of a ban, it's because there's particular speech on the app. Yeah, like, I think, when was the last time that we were talking about, I think it 2020 or
2021, maybe, I don't remember.
Yeah, like, I think that there are things that are constantly happening where, you know, the government might want to, I just am so suspicious of
the government
and when it comes to speech especially, like,
yeah you know,
are
what?
You willing to give up that love, like,
I think you're right.
I get it. I understand TikTok is not the best app at all. And I understand that there are so many issues with TikTok and the way that the algorithm is. And that can be said for any social media platform.
I'm with you, but I think TikTok is particularly addictive. And I think there's that. But the thing is, in this ban, I have not heard much about that aspect of TikTok. All I have heard about, at least like in most of the media I've been reading, has been user privacy concerns, data concerns.
Yeah, especially as it comes to like a quote adversarial government.
Exactly, which China is, I would like, you know, obviously China is a significant geopolitical, economic adversary of the US.
Yeah.
But you know, like, you know, Project Texas, which is like TikTok, I think in 2022 or 2023, they decided to have a new method of handling US users and US operations to ensure that there is no privacy concerns and data concerns for US users.
Yeah.
And they've routed all of US traffic to American servers owned by Oracle. And that's because they want to protect US data because, like, from offshore entities, including TikTok, right? So Oracle controls access to those servers. And, like, I don't know, like, the data privacy concerns, I'm just like, the same way that TikTok monetizes and sells data,
so
same thing
happens. Instagram,
Facebook, X, Lyft, Google. Like, it's all...
Yeah, like, our data's being sold on all of these apps, and that is a scary
thing.
That
is terrifying.
That is a terrifying thing.
But if the federal government wanted to solve that problem, why are they going after just TikTok? Like, if you want to talk about privacy, transparency, all of these very real issues that flood these social media platforms, address them all. Like, this does not, this, I feel like this does not solve the problem.
Yeah.
And, like, that's my issue with this ban.
Yeah. And I think it's also interesting because we've seen, like, one interesting thing was, like, with Jeff Jackson, who's the Democratic candidate for Attorney General in North Carolina for the 2024 election. It was really interesting to see him as someone who has grown exponentially on TikTok. I think he's amassed over 2 million followers or had, at least.
He's done a good job.
And, you know, he lost 200,000 followers because he voted for the ban as someone who has been consistently utilizing the platform to grow his campaign and to grow himself. And I understand the call out of the hypocrisy. Like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, dude, that's a little silly for you to, like, you know, from a PR perspective.
It's just stupid, yeah.
It's, yeah, why are you...
But I also, like, I understand that duality. Because, you know, you and I, we do this podcast, we post on TikTok, we both make content for our TikTok platform. But I'm still capable of sitting here and being like, TikTok maybe isn't the best social media platform ever, and I would support legislation restricting it for minors. Like, I could say that out loud and it'd be true, while also genuinely making content for minors to consume on TikTok about my podcast. Like, it's like, the way it is the way it is, but that's not necessarily the way that I think it should be. But, like, I'm still playing the game the way it is. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I think too, like, you have to think about what is best for
your constituents.
Yeah, yeah. And
whether or not you've profited from it should be out of the question. It should not even be considered. Like,
yeah.
And I can appreciate somebody, like, this is like a different slant, obviously, this different angle, but like, I can appreciate somebody who can take that out of the equation and vote honestly.
Yeah. That is a very
vote Jeff Jackson. yeah. I don't know. Like, the one thing, like, I was when, like, March 13th, when the ban was, I guess, signed by the House, like, I was listening to a lot of podcasts and media and, like, people covering this, and like representatives' offices were saying that voters, like, teenagers were calling them saying, like, you cannot ban TikTok. I'm going to kill myself if you do. Like, and then they hear, like, a school bell ring in the background, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, sorry, like, what the fuck is this? Like, genuinely, like, what have we done to our kids? Like, why are they, like, I guarantee you these people have not picked up phones and called their representatives in the past about Israel, Palestine, about any, like, healthcare issues, like, access to housing, anything, any civic-minded issues. But they call and they say, if you ban this app, I'm going to kill myself.
Well, I think it's become a lifeline for so many people. That's, and I don't think that should be...
That's fucked up.
I don't think it should be factored into the equation.
Yeah, I don't think it should be either. I think I'm just talking about it because it's relevant here.
Yeah, but like, I think it has become such a crutch for people, social media in and of itself, to find community, to find life. Like, and I think because it has become that crutch, like, people are going to these lengths, to these extreme extents of threatening, you know, self-harm and suicide.
Yeah, but that should be very chilling. As, that, you know, that is terrifying.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah, that is terrifying to me. Like, you know, our children, our, like, our sisters, our brothers. I have an 8-year-old brother. Like, is this what we're doing to our children?
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's a larger question that has nothing to do with the ban itself, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't support the ban, but I also... Like,
yeah, I think from a First Amendment perspective, like, looking at, like, the laws in Montana we were just talking about, you know, and how a federal judge blocked the Montana ban.
It was an outright TikTok ban.
Yeah, because of First Amendment, you 100%. Know, and they said, I don't see this going any further because it's such a violation of the First Amendment.
And for that reason, that's why I don't think the ban is just
feasible
at all from a constitution perspective.
But I also agree with that from a constitutional perspective.
I agree with it too. I just, the thing that I worry about is, like, I think we should all take our own, like, agency and be like, look, this is not necessarily a good thing for ourselves, our kids, cognitive development, even, like, the opinions we form. Like, it's not necessarily the best thing, and recognizing that is important. But like,
we've always been influenced by things and making our own opinions, right? Like, before social media.
There's other people in your bubbles.
People, right?
Like, I agree with you, but nothing, like, not to this extent. You're like, the way that Americans are on social media, the way that they're inundated, the way the algorithm works to reinforce your beliefs, the way, like, the negativity bias, the fact that negative content and cruel content is amplified over positive content or even, like, nuanced content. Like, there are significant issues with the way that these social media platforms run their platforms and the way that it affects Americans. Like, the hatred that people are comfortable with exuding online is something that I don't think anybody would be comfortable with in person. Like, on TikTok, too. Like, people are getting death threats on TikTok for drinking Starbucks. And I'm like, look, you need to touch grass. Like, you are so chronically online. Like, get off of TikTok right now. Like, it's just a little, it's ridiculous, you know? Which, that's why it worries me when you say, like, yeah, all this significant news discourse is happening on this platform. It's important. Yes, it's important for speech reasons and for constitutional reasons. But at the same time...
Why is it happening on these platforms?
And are these platforms conducive to real, nuanced discourse? Or is it just going to be someone saying, go kill yourself, to the girl who brought a brown sugar shake and oat milk espresso? Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but I think also, like, there is... Mm. I think that these platforms are creating room for nuance. I think also some of these platforms are creating... room for people to not necessarily view political content. I don't know if you saw with Instagram.
I saw the new setting.
Yeah, the new setting. Which also, people said it was set to the default to be that it blocked political content, but my default was that I can see.
Yeah, so like my on TikTok, they were like, yeah, it's all blocked to, like, you can't even see it. You have to manually unset it. Mine was, I see political content every day.
And mine was set. I checked the setting and mine wasn't set to that. So I don't know, like, what that is about, and maybe they changed it when
or
I went
maybe
to
it's
check.
Misinformation, like, yeah, you know,
I don't know, but I just think that I wonder what the Senate will do, and I know President Biden has said he will pass the bill if it comes to his desk, which again I can't help but think you are a president who we know, well, presidents in general, like, obviously they're going to do what's best for them,
mm-hmm.
who has potentially engaged in speech violations and other
mm-hmm.
extents.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing this? You know, why? Mm-hmm. What is the reason behind this? And is it because you are losing out on voters in Michigan because mm-hmm. you haven't acted fast enough in restraining what Israel is doing
mm-hmm.
to Palestinian people in Gaza? Like,
mm-hmm.
is that why you're doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? That's fair. I don't know. I just think, again, there are very real issues with these platforms, but not just TikTok, all of these platforms.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you actually want to fix this, like truly fix this, create comprehensive federal social media regulation legislation on behalf of us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this bill feels like it's coming from the place of, like, the intention of slapping China in the face. And I get that. I get why. But it also might result in a lot of, like, speech being stifled, as you said, hurting small businesses who conduct a lot of their marketing and promotions on TikTok and more. And it does all of this damage, and it might not even solve the very real problems of being online these days.
Yeah.
You know, I think ultimately I don't think ByteDance will sell until we address constitutionality, because it won't be forced to.
Hmm.
And I also don't think Senate will address it for the next couple of weeks. So
definitely
months, maybe. So we'll see. You have TikTok for now. We have TikTok for now. I'm on it. She's on it. We're on it. Like,
go follow us on there. But
yeah,
in the meantime,
what's our tag?
Tears of Scrutiny.
@ Tears of Scrutiny.
Yeah. So see you there.
See you there.
Bye.